Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Yep. Top of the muffin to all of you. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Friday, January 8th. Oh, what a week it's been. We've got a new jobs report out. We'll get to that in a few moments. Trump finally concedes the election. Yeah, it's January 8th. It's about time Trump concedes the election. Puts out a video response calling for peace and an orderly transition. Is it too little too late? Articles of impeachment are making their way through Congress as members of the Republican Party and Democrats continue to push for impeachment. Remember, this is not about the next 12 days. It really, in many ways, is about 2024. So we'll tell you this theory that's emerging about impeachment and why perhaps it's even more important than ever. And it's not about these 12 days. Senators begged for help during the lockdown from inside their bunker where the leadership was whisked off to. They called governors asking for armed guards, National Guard to arrive. They were told the federal government has not allowed us to do that. We're going to go deep into what is going on, why were these people able to storm the Capitol, and how far in advance this entire thing was planned. It was all over social media. We're going to show you that. And by the way, this morning, the FBI needs your help in order to put these people behind bars. All of that and more on the show today. Grover is in the house hanging out, getting ready for the weekend by the sunny window. Producer David is in the control booth running the ship, making sure I don't play videos with echoey sound to them and
good
screwing
morning.
Things up.
Good Friday morning.
Top of the morning to you.
Oh, wait, it's good morning.
All right.
Friday morning.
Good Friday morning. Nice to see you. We're going to get to all of your news in just a second, but I want to tell you about our morning newsletter. We had a record number of signups yesterday. So thank you, everyone who gets our free newsletter delivered right to your inbox first thing in the morning. Very easy to do. Just go to morninginvest.com. Sign up with your email address, and we cover about five or six news stories that we think are important for you to start your day, so you can have it delivered to your inbox. You can read it in about 5 minutes over your cup of coffee. So here's what it looks like. Show you real fast. Where is that little screen? I can never find it. There we go. Go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and that's what it looks like on your tablet, mobile device, your computer, and grab that newsletter. We had a good story in there today. I won't ruin it. You got to go read it. After. Well, we've got some breaking news I want to get to this morning, because just a few moments ago, we have economic news to get to as this economy continues to grind to a halt. The economy has seen its biggest job loss for the first time since April. So as President Trump was telling you throughout the holidays, and he was praising, of course, the stock market surging, right? Hey, stock market in 2020 was the best ever. All thanks to me, your lovely president. And oh, by the way, your 401k looking great. Which doesn't really affect average and normal Americans at all in any capacity, because they are not Wall Street. Wall Street this past week has done fantastic. Even like while the Capitol was being attacked, Wall Street did fine. Isn't that amazing? Like the seat of government is being attacked, and yet Wall Street was doing fine. Was, you know, just chug along like normal. People are buying stocks. Wall Street traders are doing fine. But yeah, the news out just now, the economy has seen its biggest job loss for the first time since April as the virus is taking hold. Non-farm payrolls were expected to rise by 50,000 in December as job creation slowed into the end of 2020. The consensus expectation was for the unemployment rate to edge higher from its 6.8%. Job creation came to a halt as restrictions brought on by surging COVID cases hammered virus-sensitive industries, particularly bars and restaurants, once again. They lost nearly 500,000 positions for the month. And of course, who does that affect the most? Those low-income workers, people that don't have health care, the people that are on the margins that need stimulus more than anyone else. They've lost their jobs without health care. While government continues, you know, to ignore the American people, ignoring the need for stimulus, but continuing to pass massive military spending bills. The Labor Department reported Friday that non-farm payrolls fell by 140,000. That was below the expectations for 50,000. So, yep, here we are. It's a repeat of April of last year when we went into the toilet. Others, though, chief investment strategists on Wall Street are saying in some ways bad news is good news because it increases the probability for more stimulus. So I guess if you want to look at this, there's a silver lining in all of this, right? Investors have convinced themselves this week that given what's happened in Georgia, given the weaknesses in the economic data, that more help is on the way. We're going to get more fiscal help, and it's likely going to happen very soon. So we could see stimulus as soon as next week. It really depends on how quickly Georgia seats those two senators, John Ossoff and Reverend Raphael Warnock. They have until the 15th of January to certify the election results. They have up until the 22nd, the governor does. So they could do it any day now, is confirm the election with all of the turmoil. I can't imagine there's going to be another round of lawsuits in Georgia, but hey, stranger things have happened. You know, Rudy Giuliani wants to get out there and file another lawsuit claiming election fraud in Georgia. Then we're going to have to drag this thing out further. Or, hey, here's an idea. Seat those two new Democratic senators. They can get stimulus on the floor of the House and into the Senate immediately, and then President-elect Biden can sign it on January 20th, right after the inauguration ceremony. Or President Trump could, as one last big middle finger to Mitch McConnell, which could also be a possibility. Or if he's thrown out, maybe Vice President Pence. That would be the first and only bill he signs as President of the United States in the next 10 days. What crazy times we are living in. Unbelievable. So that is the jobs numbers. This news breaking just a few minutes ago, the economy seeing a major job losses in December. It's the first time since April that we've seen this type of job loss in the United States. So do you need any more signs right now that we need to pass economic stimulus in this country? I don't think so. Let's talk about President Trump. President Trump finally conceding the election last night. He got his Twitter account back. So he took to Twitter and decided to release a video conceding the election and calling for a peaceful transfer of power. We have some more news and reporting around this, which we'll get to in a second. But first, here's the president of the United States, the current president of the United States, finally conceding and calling for peace and his outrage over all of the violence at the Capitol.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem.
I'm sorry, I got to stop you. If you don't mind, Mr. President, what about the other day when you released the video during the riot where you were said that we love you? And I understand. We love you. We love you. But now this is heinous, lawlessness, and I'm outraged. It's amazing what 48 hours can do without being on social media and maybe a little sleep.
I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders.
No, you didn't. We'll get to that in a second. That's a lie.
America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy.
But 2 days ago, I loved you. I understand you. I'm proud of you. We're all proud of you, as he said. We love you.
Those who engage in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election, and emotions are high. But now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. We must get on with the business of America. My campaign vigorously pursued every legal avenue to contest the election results. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote.
My only goal. First of all, that's a lie as well. We all know what his motives were. Raising money in order to fund his second chapter in life. His only goal was to ensure the integrity of the election and your vote. Sure. Sure.
In so doing, I was fighting to defend American democracy.
Yeah.
I continue to strongly believe that we must reform our election laws to verify the identity and eligibility of all voters and to ensure faith and confidence in all future elections. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. 2020 has been a challenging time for our people. A menacing pandemic has upended the lives of our citizens, isolated millions in their homes, damaged our economy, and claimed countless lives. Defeating this pandemic and rebuilding the greatest economy on earth will require all of us working together. It will require a renewed emphasis on the civic values of patriotism, faith, charity, community, and family. We must revitalize the sacred bonds of love and loyalty that...
Who wrote this? You think for one second he wrote this? Of course not.
No, the PR team scrambled. You got to read this, and you got to read this right now, sir.
What PR team? They've all quit, right? I mean, who wrote this? We need to return to love. That just came out of his mouth. We need to return to love and unity and a sense of community.
Melania's like, oh, now you want to return to love?
Right. When do you want to return? Why you want to return to love? I don't want to return to love. I've already moved out.
Bind us together as one national family. To the citizens of our country, serving as your president has been the honor of my lifetime. And to all of my wonderful supporters, I know you are disappointed, but I also want you to know that our incredible journey is only just beginning. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
It's just beginning. It's just beginning, right? So the calls for impeachment continue. And Ro Khanna, congressman, tweeting this just a short time ago this morning, saying, a video belatedly calling for a transition does not change these facts. Trump invited violence, telling people to storm the Capitol and fight. He tweeted support for the rioters. Yeah, in a video, by the way. It wasn't just a tweet. He showed a dereliction of duty by failing to call the National Guard. He needs to go. So he claims in that video, he immediately called the National Guard. Oh, really? Well, it turns out that's not true. We'll get to that in a second. But during the riots, when the president, according to sources, what he says he was immediately deploying the National Guard, according to sources at the Washington Post, Ashley Parker and Josh Dossie, they say, though not necessarily enjoying himself, Trump was bemused by the spectacle because he thought his supporters were literally fighting for him, according to a close advisor.
Well, and had he done that, they would have been on the steps waiting like they were for the BLM protest.
Right. They would have already been there. By the way, this was not a mystery. This was well known in advance. And we'll get to all of those pieces of this. But the person said he was turned off by what he considered the low class spectacle of people in ragtag costumes rummaging through the Capitol, end quote. He's like, what's that guy doing? Like wearing horns and everything. That QAnon guy who's now been identified as a QAnon guy. But initially people thought it was Antifa. No, it turns out he's a QAnon guy. His name is Q Shaman, by the way. So Trump was like rummaging through the Capitol, like, get these disgusting people out of here. It's basically what he was saying. Much the same way that the reports are when he said he couldn't stand to have to shake the hands of his supporters because he considered them dirty. Remember that a couple of months ago? So turns out while this was unfolding, at the same time that Trump is claiming that he called the National Guard, they were having a Trump party. Yeah, they were having a Trump family little dance party and enjoying this unfolding. So here is some behind-the-scenes video of this was released. Don Jr. Shot this video. Try if I pull it up here. Where is it? I'm having trouble finding it. Why, when I want a video, I cannot find it. Okay, I need to pull this up. So I will find that video in a second of the Trump family. But in the meantime, you know, the argument about the president deploying the National Guard immediately is laughable because you have governors who were told that they didn't have the authority to send National Guard. Maryland Governor, Republican Larry Hogan, received a phone call from senators who were inside the bunker at the time. Listen to this. He held a press conference yesterday where he basically debunked what the president was saying. And it, by the way, they can deploy this massive military presence immediately in Washington, right? We spend $740 billion a year on defense. So if what the president is saying is true, that he immediately... So he's there giving a speech where he says, we're going to march down Pennsylvania Avenue. When you say immediately deployed, at what point did you immediately deploy them? After they had already smashed through the Capitol. That's when? Because if you immediately deployed them, they wouldn't have been able to break into the Capitol. Well, and instead, we're seeing videos like this where the police, by the way, are like stepping aside. Here, we saw that video the other day, of course, where you had they pull the barricades away. Watch this video. Watch this police officer guide people, a Capitol police officer guide people to the entrance. Watch. Here, watch. Go this way. Go this way. This way. This way. This way. Let's go this way. Let's go this way. Who is that person? This way. It's open. Yeah, come on this way. Come on through. Come on this way. This way. This way to the entrance. Come on. Come on. Come on. This way. That's the way to go. By the way, we can't forget the gallows, the wooden gallows that they set up. We talked about that last night on the show. They had time to erect gallows for people to be hung outside. Wooden structure. Who's bringing that in their truck? Like, you don't just find those big, you know, big beams laying around outside the Capitol. And, oh, by the way, you have a noose handy. Who travels with a noose? Somebody put that in their truck and drove to Washington, D.C. and erected that during this entire protest. I just can't get over this. I mean, I see these cops. I see this person just waving everyone. Here you go. Here you go. Go ahead. 2,300 strong Capitol Police force. Just go ahead. Go ahead right through. What in the world is going on? The FBI this morning needs your help. FBI is seeking information related to violent activity at the U.S. Capitol building. If you have any information, go to the FBI's website.
Well, then you know.
Here's where you type in your information.
You know they can. I mean, when Trump walked from the White House to the church for his Bible picture, they had, you know what I mean? Like, they pushed back big, big, big crowds of people.
Exactly.
They have the power to do complete opposite of what they did.
Yeah, they can use tear gas. They can do anything they want. They can do anything they want. So it's laughable that this was such a surprise to all of these people. Such a surprise. So why wasn't there a stronger amount of support from the National Guard at the Capitol building? Why were these insurrectionists able to barge right into the Capitol, go storm into Nancy Pelosi's office, go to the floor of the different chambers, cause violence? And by the way, that one of the officers in this mess has now died this morning. So now five people have died. So a police officer was killed by these guys. I thought blue lives mattered. How did this happen? Larry Hogan is the governor of Maryland. He held a press conference, and I want to play this for you because it's astonishing.
Right in the middle of that meeting with our security team, I got a phone call from House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, who was calling me saying that he... and Speaker Pelosi and Senator Schumer were all together in an undisclosed bunker. They've been spirited off to some undisclosed location, that the U.S. Capitol Police was overwhelmed, that there was no federal law enforcement presence, and that the leaders of Congress were pleading with me as the governor of Maryland for assistance from Maryland's National Guard and State Police. I informed Speaker Hoyer and the other leaders that a force of specially trained riot police equipped to respond to civil disturbances, along with members of allied and local law enforcement agencies, were already en route to the Capitol. I also told them that I authorized the mobilization of the Maryland National Guard and that I was ready, willing, and able to immediately deploy them to the Capitol. However, we were repeatedly denied approval to do so. Under federal law, the mayor of the District of Columbia does not have authority over the Guard, and we must receive approval from the Secretary of Defense before we're able to send our Maryland National Guard across the border into the federal city, into the District of Columbia. So we had a little back and forth.
So you hear that, right? Secretary of Defense has to approve the mobilization of troops across the border from Maryland into Washington, D.C. He didn't receive that.
Trying to get that authorization, and approximately an hour and a half later, I got a call on my cell phone from the Secretary of the Army, Ryan McCarthy, who gave us the authority that we needed to be able to move into the city. The initial contingent of Maryland National Guard members were the first to arrive in Washington from out of state.
Okay, so.
What do you make of that? To send National Guard troops across the border has to come from the federal government. The authorization has to come from the federal government. And President Trump was quick to do that when there was violence, Black Lives Matter protests, and all these rallies out in Portland and other places, right? Ready to descend and do whatever they needed to do. But when this was unfolding, none of that was happening.
And just to be clear,
during this time,
days before, not the day of, that they knew the Black Lives Matter, that was all planned well in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying this was like the day of. They couldn't. Well, they deployed them on the same day.
They couldn't figure this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't figure this out. Like this was, we had no idea about this. Oh, well, pick up the front page of The Intercept today. Storming of the Capitol was openly planned, but ignored by law enforcement. Despite billions spent on intelligence and surveillance, U.S. law enforcement permitted an armed Trumpist mob to sack the Capitol. Ryan Devereaux writing, just hours after being the site of a historic siege, the scene outside the U.S. Capitol was eerie but quiet. Crowds were gone. That's because black-clad riot cops shuffled through the shadows and managed to move all those people out. He says the law enforcement presence Wednesday night, like the one used on the protests at Donald Trump's inauguration in 2017 and the Black Lives Matter protesters in 2020, was a reminder that the capital of the world's most powerful country does not lack for security forces. As a collective body, he writes, the agencies are abundant and well-armed, and they are tapped into a billion-dollar intelligence-sharing apparatus. Not that Wednesday's rally was some secret, nor was its conclusion unforeseeable. The rally that preceded the storming of the Capitol had been hyped for weeks, including by the president himself, who for the past 4 years has had a direct relationship to many acts of staggering right-wing violence. Mike Gurman, a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice and former FBI agent, says it definitely shows the ineffectiveness of the intelligence network that we've built since 9/11. That the Capitol Police would not have been prepared for an assault on the Capitol that was planned in public. I mean, this was all known. The Capitol Police Chief, Stephen Sund, has now resigned after being called for his resignations by Nancy Pelosi. The Sergeant-at-Arms by the Senate has also now resigned. Mitch McConnell called for that. He has resigned. Like, the Sergeant-at-Arms, like, that's his job, right? He's to protect the chambers, and the Capitol Police Chief also to protect the Capitol. Like, you have one job, right? You have 2,300 members of your police force. You failed. But how did you not know that this was about to happen? We all knew it was about to happen. Heck, a number of the people that broke in to the Capitol that were live streaming were talking about this weeks in advance. So here's one woman. I want to play this sound for you because she was in the Capitol live streaming, talking about having just broken into Nancy Pelosi's office. She drove 20 hours from Midland, Texas, where in the weeks ahead of time, she was posting all over social media about how she was acquiring ammo. And these are the types of bullets that she's buying. And she's heading off to the Capitol for the revolution. Here she is talking about heading at, this is her inside Nancy Pelosi's office.
Vandalize anything, but we did. We did, as I say that, we did break down the Nancy Pelosi's office door.
So that's not vandalizing then? She's like, we didn't vandalize anything, but we did smash down Nancy Pelosi's office door and then rummage through her office, which I know, you call it vandalism, that's okay. And by the way, she's live streaming while she's doing it.
And somebody stole her gavel and took a picture sitting in the chair, flipping off the camera, and that was on Fox News.
So I'm super proud because I was just featured on Fox News.
Patriots got down on the floor and were...
These patriots went down to the floor, the House chambers, the Senate chambers.
Sitting in the House members in the senator's chair.
That was her live stream from the Capitol. Inside Nancy Pelosi's office. How do you think that's going over with the FBI? A lot of people have already shared her name. Turns out when the FBI is asking for your help right now, because they're overwhelmed trying to find out all of these people, these people's faces. See, please use this form to submit any images, videos, or other multimedia files that you have related to possible violations of federal law committed. Our goal is to preserve the public's constitutional right to protest by protecting everyone from violence and other criminal activity. Please send us this information. Violent activity at the U.S. Capitol building. So a lot of people on social media have already taken this form, shared it. This was, I think her name was Janet, I think. Anyway, earlier in, a few weeks earlier, she was on social media posting this. Yeah, we're thinking about driving down. She says, we're thinking about driving. It's a 20-hour drive, one-way trip to be on the safe side. So this was 6 days before this all happened, right? This is all over social media. We've got everything we can carry, quote, meaning they've already stocked up on ammunition. But you got to be careful about carry laws. Lots will be driving in. Just check the carry laws because you can't take that into D.C. Okay. Again, days ahead of time. And here she is at the ammo store.
Crazy, but I just hit the jackpot in Odessa. There is a place called Wildhorn Services that sells ammo and firewood. Okay. 5329 Andrews Highway in Odessa. Y'all, they have everything. Everything. Okay. They've got 9mm in stock. They've got 223, 243. All the things that you need, okay? It's just crazy. I haven't found 9 anywhere in months and months and months. So y'all come on by, these great patriots. Wildhorn Services off of Andrews Highway in Odessa. Hot dog!
Think it'll be hard to find her? So, and other people from Texas confirmed this, what she's saying, because people who use that ammunition for hunting and lawful things were saying, yeah, there's been a run on this type of ammunition in this area. Like, we haven't been able to find it. She's right. It's been scarce. People have been stocking up on it, heading to the Capitol. So this was all over social media. Well known in advance. So this surprise that that suddenly these people were descending on the Capitol, they were all left flat-footed. We couldn't figure this out. What's going on here? And yet you're posting on social media. We're thinking about driving, 20-hour drive, one-way trip. You know, I'm just checking the open carry laws. We got to be careful about that. But yeah, you can't take that in D.C. We're stocking up. We've got all we can carry.
Well, and I wonder if these people would have done would have breached the Capitol had the police not let them through. Like, the police pretty much guided them up the stairs, guided them in. Come on, right this way. Taking selfies. Like, come on in. I wonder if they would have stood their ground more if this even would have happened.
And you have to wonder, the Capitol Police maybe are saying to themselves, where's the National Guard? Like, we're not meant to get into this massive battle fight right now with these guys. They want us to pull out guns on these people? Like, I've got a family to feed. Like, I'm not going to kill myself or get involved in this. Where the National Guard with their full military garb should be showing up here like they did for the Black Lives Matter protests. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to, put my life on the line for this. And maybe that's what happened. They felt like they were overwhelmed. Tens of thousands of people that are storming you. Like,
I would think as a Capitol Police officer, you understand that you're pretty much the first line of defense in any kind of attack on Washington. I mean, that you would think that would be going into the job. You know that you're putting yourself in that position to be the first line of defense, because even if it was a terrorist attack or something, it would take a while for the National Guard to get there anyway. So you'd have to be prepared to be
right.
That.
You would think.
I would think.
You would think. I mean, you would think that you take an oath like this is you're protecting one of America's most sacred, sacred buildings, the seat of government. Are you not, are you, what are you doing? Like, that's your job. So you're just going to this was the video, of course, that David was talking about yesterday, and I had to pull it up here real quick, but this is the video where they're taking selfies. These police officers are taking selfies with these guys that just broke in. Look at this guy here, cigarette. Here's a guy. Oh, I'm going to take a selfie. Hey, thanks for the selfie. I appreciate it. I'm inside the Capitol building. Just storming around. Thanks so much for your selfie. I appreciate it. These guys, Trump, MAGA hats. Look at that. While they're live streaming, by the way.
So yeah, I noticed how like every protester had like cameras and cell phones and stuff. Like, where were they streaming? Like, what? Why were they all like?
Right.
You would think your camera would be the last thing you'd be thinking about in a situation like this.
They've got plenty of money, right? They've got all these nice cell phones and cameras, and there's live streaming. So how do these guys get in here? And then the video, of course, I just showed you where this Capitol Police officer, is waving everyone in. Go ahead, here you go. This way. Come on this way. This way. Follow me. Follow me. That's how you get in. So while all of that was unfolding, we heard President Trump's lie in his speech where he said that he immediately deployed the National Guard. That's not true. And you hear Governor Larry Hogan, a Republican of Maryland, who was on standby with his National Guard troops, ready to send them to the Capitol, but needs authorization from the federal government to cross the border into a state.
Do we know at time, like how long it takes to deploy once they get the order, how long it takes them to get on site? Because it has to be almost immediate, right?
They're right there across the border. I mean, D.C. sits right there, Virginia and Maryland. I mean, it's like, and Governor Northam of Virginia, same process. Deploy National Guard troops to help immediately. And can't get in. For some reason, we can't get in. Stunning.
Do you have that other video where they were opening the gates? Not the one where they're inside, but the one where there was a whole bunch of people and they just opened the gates and let them through?
Yeah, that yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to clean out my buffet of videos because I had too many of them.
But I just hit the jackpot in Odessa.
I'm here picking up some ammo. I'm ready to go weeks ahead of time. Ready to go. And apparently she runs a flower shop in Midland, Texas. So people have found her pretty easily. Turns out you can find people pretty easily, right? So they found her on LinkedIn, found her flower shop.
If she's going to be live streaming, she might want to charge her phone a little more. Her phone's only got like one bar battery.
Right. There is a place called Wildhorn Services
where I get all my
ammo and firewood.
So I've hit the jackpot. I can get my firewood and ammo at one stop. It's like a dream. It's a dream to get my ammo and firewood in one stop before I head into the Capitol. So again, while all this was happening, remember, President Trump said that he immediately called the National Guard. And where was President Trump? He was supposed to be marching down the street on Pennsylvania Avenue with these people, right? We heard he was marching down, he was going to march down on Pennsylvania Avenue. Turns out he kind of snuck away and went into his motorcade. Where did he go after that? Well, guess what? He joined Donald Jr., Eric Trump, Kimberly Guilfoyle to having like a little dance party while they watched this all unfold. So this video leaked. This is, I believe, Don Jr. shooting this video of Kimberly Guilfoyle, and you can see Trump in the background. I can't play the music because, you know, how YouTube works. I'd be copyrights hit if I play this music. The music is the song Gloria by
Gloria Boehner or something.
Laura Branigan.
Laura Branigan. Yeah.
Who passed away in 2004, but their estate is furious. So the Laura Branigan estate is furious. But let me show you the video. So just imagine if you're watching this right here, is Eric, and there's other people that are all dancing, and they're watching all of this unfold on the TV. Here's Kim. Here's Kimberly. She's just dancing. Imagine the song Gloria playing by Laura Branigan, because that's the song that was playing in the background. You know,
I don't can you think
you're falling, Gloria. Gloria, if everybody wants you, you don't have to. So imagine, there's President Trump. They're all watching this unfold. You want to get me to keep singing? No. You're always on the run now. Running after someone. Dun, dun, before you start to blow it. Gloria. Hey. Oh, there he is. There he is, my man.
I bet you they're like watching, and then all of a sudden they start storming the Capitol, and they're all like, oh my gosh, somebody, Donald, you need to go call the National Guard. Like, oh, you need to do something now. They're like all freaking out.
Yeah.
Oh no, they're breaking in.
They're all excited. All backstage. This is great. There's Eric, and they're all, yeah, they're running over to the Capitol. This is awesome. Gloria. So they did the Laura Branigan team did not appreciate this. So they tweeted this out. Let me just keep, sorry, I'm trying to find this tweet here. Why am I having so much difficulty this
Well,
morning?
And
I
if you look on that TV, that looks like they're still at that where Rudy Giuliani was speaking or whatever. That's what it looks like they're watching, because that looks like a stage,
yeah,
right there.
And, you know, like, you're behind the scenes just enjoying a little dance party as this is all unfolding. People are leaving. See, people are filing out now. And people are, like, wondering, like, where is this guy going? Like, is he going to join us on our march down Pennsylvania Avenue? We're just going to watch this unfold. So Laura Branigan, the account for Laura Branigan, who wrote the song Gloria, says, no permission to use Gloria, nor endorsement of him, past or present, was granted to President Trump on behalf of Laura or her legacy management company. And we strongly and vehemently do not condone yesterday's events at the Capitol. It's absolutely appalling to hear Gloria being played in the background of a widely circulated video of President Trump from yesterday. There you go. And then a lot of people are comparing Kimberly Guilfoyle, though, her dancing, because this is reminiscent of her on Christmas. At that Christmas Trump get-together where she was out on stage. And it's very reminiscent of sort of the Elaine Benes dance from Seinfeld. Like, people are like, what is she doing? The little kicks? Like, what is going on here?
That's salsa, isn't it?
I don't know. It's something. It's something. It's something. It does, though, remind me of... it does remind me of this, though.
To those who wish us well, and those who don't can go to hell.
I can't play the music, though, but this was one of my favorite scenes ever from Seinfeld, where she, have you ever seen this? Of course,
oh,
Elaine's
yeah.
little dancing where she can't. No, that's not my wife. Someone wants to know if that's my wife. Sorry.
Oh, she's hilarious. Julie Louise Dreyfus.
Oh my God, she's the best. So, yeah, the immediacy with which you went after to denounce this violence is, you know, I just can't believe how quickly you acted, President Trump. Unbelievable how quickly you moved. You know, and what happened to the National Guard? The Pentagon apparently placed tight limits, according to the Washington Post, on the National Guard. ahead of the pro-Trump protests. So, according to in memos issued on Monday and Tuesday, in response to a request from the D.C. mayor, the Pentagon prohibited the district's guardsmen from receiving ammunition or riot gear, interacting with the protesters unless necessary for self-defense. So listen to that. The D.C. mayor requested that the Pentagon prohibit the district's guardsmen from receiving ammunition or riot gear, interacting with protesters unless necessary for self-defense, sharing equipment with local law enforcement, or using guard surveillance and air assets without the defense secretary's explicit sign-off. So the defense secretary, again, held the ultimate authority and could have stepped in as the federal government and said, hey, get them in here. The defense secretary, of course, supersedes the D.C. mayor. The limits were established because the guard hadn't been asked to assist with the crowd or riot control. So the National Guard was not asked ahead of time. The Pentagon did not ask them. The Secretary of Defense did not ask for them to come. Why? Why were they so quick to come when there were Black Lives Matter protesters? And when the president wanted to walk across that little photo op at the church and hold up a Bible that he didn't own? So Larry Hogan continued his interview. And I think that's the most telling part, is you have a sitting governor, a Republican sitting governor, who's saying, hey, we have troops ready to go. We've asked, we're standing by, and you won't let us get them in there. You won't let us bring them into the Capitol to help.
None of us really spoke to the Secretary of Defense, but we were repeatedly being told by the National Guard at the national level that we did not have authorization. I was actually on the phone with Leader Hoyer, who was pleading with us to send the Guard. He was yelling across the room to Schumer, and they were back and forth saying, we do have the authorization. And I'm saying, I'm telling you, we do not have the authorization. And so we had multiple times. The general was, we're running up the flagpole, we're ready. Don't have authorization. Don't have authorization. And then I get a call an hour and a half later out of the blue, not from the Secretary of Defense, not through what would be normal channels. I got a number I don't recognize on my phone. I pick it up anyway. Larry Hogan. And it's like, just Ryan McCarthy, Secretary of the Army, Governor, can you come as soon as possible? It was like, yeah, we've been waiting. We're ready. I can't tell you what was going on the other end on the decision-making process. There's been lots of speculation in the media about that. But I'm not privy to what was going on inside the White House or inside the Pentagon.
Governor, should the President resign? Should we revoke the 25th Amendment? Where are you at with that discussion?
Yeah, look, here's where I am. I think there's no question that America would be better off if the president would resign or be removed from office, and if Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States, would conduct a peaceful transition of power over the next 13 days until President Biden is sworn in. Now, how the details of if that's going to happen or how that should happen, I don't know, but...
As I mentioned, that's a Republican governor. That the Republican.
A remarkable press conference. Remarkable. And just to remind you what the president said, I immediately called upon the National Guard.
The National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the bus and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders.
Hypocrisy, a big bowl of hypocrisy. So Black Lives Matter protesters coming to Washington, D.C. Get out the riot gear. Get these buildings secure. Make sure that you're ready to issue tweets telling people they will be arrested, put in prison for 10 years. Apparently, there was a huge fight about this. And President Trump did not want to issue any kind of statement about this, according to the reports this morning. even though he, in this video last night, acknowledged this new administration would take over, apparently he did not want to condemn the violence, according to reports this morning, that he didn't, all he wanted to do was tweet about it. And there was apparently a big fight that unfolded with him not wanting to condemn the violence, talk about it, talk it down, tamp it down, until he was forced to because of a legal threat. That's what finally got him to issue a statement about this. Because federal prosecutors are now looking at whether or not they could prosecute the president because he incited this. Under federal law, incitement of violence, the incitement of riots, is a federal crime. Doesn't matter if you're president of the United States. Apparently, Donald Trump only tweeted the speech calling for peace and acknowledging the end of his presidency while White House counsel Pat Cilipone told him that he faces criminal charges. But he still called cop-killing supporters, quote, wonderful. President Trump initially resisted taping his video message, acknowledging his election loss. He did so only after White House counsel Pat Cilipone warned him of the legal danger. Justice Department said it would not rule out pursuing charges against President Trump for his possible role in encouraging the insurgents. Aides describe Trump right now as psychologically fragile. They say he is alone. He is a mad King George, said one Republican in the White House. The president also claimed that he, quote, immediately called upon the National Guard. But it was Mike Pence, according to media reports, who took control and ordered it. This comes after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that Trump had incited sedition against the United States and demanded the president's removal from office.
Because yesterday, the president of the United States incited an armed insurrection against America. The gleeful desecration of the U.S. Capitol, which is the temple of our American democracy, and the violence targeting Congress are horrors that will forever stain our nation's history, instigated by the President of the United States. That's why it's such a stain. In calling for this seditious act, the President has committed an unspeakable assault on our nation and our people. I join the Senate Democratic leader in calling on the Vice President to remove this president by immediately invoking the 25th Amendment.
Mike Pence has turned that down, so now they move forward with articles of impeachment, separate, and bringing this up again for a second impeachment hearing. Now, the reason that this is important and the reason that this is different from before is that, and Ro Khanna and other members of Congress are behind this, Trump invited violence, telling people to storm the Capitol. He supported support for rioters. He showed a dereliction of duty by failing to call the National Guard. He needs to go. By the way, Terry, who's watching right now, thank you for your super chat, Terry. He said, as a law enforcement officer and part of the National Guard myself, this was beyond setup. Deployment can happen ASAP, and the Capitol Police had many opportunities to hold their ground in multiple locations. It was set up, and it's a disgrace, he says. Thank you for your super chat on that, Terry, and the context. Lawrence Tribe, tweeting about this, and he wrote a piece in the Washington Post as well, saying, let me pull up his tweet here. My verdict, former presidents can be impeached, convicted, and barred from ever holding federal office again. The text and history are ambiguous, but holding otherwise would have absurd consequences. Here's a very fine summary of scholars' views and analysis, he writes. So what Lawrence is saying is, this isn't about the next 12 days. This is about making sure that this guy does not run and win again in 2024, that this guy doesn't hold office ever again. So impeachment in many ways has nothing to do with the next 12 days. It has more to do with the future. And you heard the president at the end of his speech say this is just the beginning. And so what are his inauguration plans? His inauguration plans are concerning. People are saying the next round of craziness is going to happen at the inauguration. I'm sure, by the way, that they'll have the National Guard deployed for that.
Well, I've seen,
right? You would think.
There's an app called, what is that app that's a lot of conservatives are using now?
Tinder?
No. It starts with parlay.
Yeah, parlor.
Parlay or parlor.
Parlor. Yeah, parlay. Yeah. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a big call in there from people that are citing a riot or and actually telling people to get guns and everything for the 17th.
Yeah. Yeah. So according to CBS News, the fears of a new attack, law enforcement in Washington are on high alert right now. And the National Guard are going to remain in Washington for 30 days. But right now, you're right. They may be planning more attacks in the city on federal buildings. According to CBS News, police and the FBI are searching airports and hotels across the city for rioters who ransacked the Capitol. More than 50 people have already been charged with crimes related to violence. On social media, there's been chatter about making the next target the inauguration ceremony. A white supremacist Telegram channel, oh, it's a Telegram channel, posted a reminder that Inauguration Day is January 20th. Quote, that is the next date on the calendar that the pro-Trump and other nationalist crowds will potentially converge on the Capitol again, they write. So they've been sending out photos trying to find out who these people are. They're trying to get a handle on this. Of course, the rumor about this being Antifa that was circulated has been shot down because some of the people they claimed were Antifa have now been identified as neo-Nazis. Let me give you an example. So when you have like your crazy uncle or your crazy grandma who says, I saw on Newsmax that it was Antifa. You can say, no, grandma, I'm sorry. You're wrong. Like, for instance, this guy. This guy was thought to be Antifa. These guys were supposed to be Antifa people, right? Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes and neo-Nazi loser Baked Alaska, that's his name, both live-streamed from Pelosi's office after storming the Capitol. Neither have been arrested. Yeah, they're Antifa, though, aren't they? Turns out when you can pause live video and figure out who these people are and they have live accounts, their tweet where they're live streaming themselves, it's pretty easy to capture these people. Love this tweet. People said it was a peaceful protest. No, it was a well-planned, broad, armed insurrection promoted by Trump, Giuliani, Linwood, etc. Here's somebody else who was in the Capitol that people were looking for. This guy, like, who is this guy? Well-dressed Antifa? No. So people are now taking to social media and sending this also to the FBI. It's like, oh, it's Antifa. No, it turns out this guy is a KKK guy from Georgia and a neo-Nazi. Chester Doles is his name. How do we know that? Very easily online, especially when he was just a short time ago tweeting pictures of himself with Kelly Loeffler campaigning in Georgia. Stop socialism. Here I am with Kelly Loeffler. Now here I am at the Capitol, breaking into the Capitol.
Wait, stop socialism. Who's running on socialism? Like actual socialism. Like who are they fighting? Because I've not seen real socialism promoted at all by any candidate.
Yeah, not even Raphael Warnock, who she was running against. Stop socialism. Yeah, let's do it. Here's how we stop socialism. We break into the Capitol. Break down the walls of the Capitol. At least he's well-dressed, you know? Should be easy to find. There's a fight breaking out with Ted Cruz. Obviously, there's a number of people, of course, are calling for President Trump to be removed, but also those who are involved in this and members of Congress who were involved in inciting this. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, this slimeball who was playing the Trumpian $2,000 stimulus checks Trump card and then turns around and votes to object the election. And then as he's walking past the protesters, he's going, yeah, you fight. There's the photos of him walking by the protesters as they were marching towards the Capitol. Way to go, he says with a big arm up salute. Then goes into the Capitol to fight for Trump. He had a book deal with Simon & Schuster. Simon & Schuster called him to say, we're canceling that contract. Sorry. He's now fighting it. Ted Cruz also having his hand slapped and being asked to resign. Members of all throughout Texas, people are. But AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez also. And look at all the people standing up. when he was shot down in his move to lead this insurrection in Congress, and everyone stood up and applauded when he lost, and Mike Pence basically shot it down. Here's AOC. Senator Cruz, you must accept responsibility for how your craven, self-serving actions contributed to the deaths of four people yesterday and how you fundraised off this riot. Both you and Senator Hawley must resign. If you do not, the Senate should move for your expulsion. She's wrong about one thing. It's not four people that died. It's five. And the fifth person that died now was a Capitol police officer. Ted Cruz fired back on this, of course, and called her a liar. You are a liar. Leading a debate in the Senate on ensuring election integrity is doing our jobs. It is in no way responsible for the despicable terrorists who attacked the Capitol yesterday. And sorry, I ain't going anywhere. When you and your socialist buddies, that's the talking point, right? When you and your socialist buddies want to get out of here.
They throw the word socialist around like they actually know what it means.
Yeah. I know. I would love for there to be some sort of a lesson on exactly what that means. So she's fighting for universal health care, a fair wage, and for increased taxes on these corporations and wealthy that are basically paying nothing in taxes, not allowing them to have offshore accounts so they can basically keep all of their profits offshore and not pay the federal government their fair taxes, while the American working class person who goes and has a W-2 employee job ends up paying the most in taxes under the tax code?
Clayton.
She's a socialist.
You were on mainstream media for years. I can't believe the stuff that's coming out of your mouth right now. You know that is different.
It's totally different, I guess, right? Yeah. She's a socialist. She wants us to look like Venezuela, where your taxes are 250% and there's no food and there's poverty and we don't have jobs. Oh, wait a minute. That's America. And you're in charge, Ted Cruz. Republicans were in charge until you're not anymore. If you look at the latest jobs report that just came out this morning, we had our worst jobs report since April of last year. A huge loss of jobs and an economy grinding to a halt. People are being evicted. They don't have health care. And the biggest amount of people to be harmed during this new jobs report, restaurant employees, hospitality employees, those people who are already making minimum wage or slightly better or slightly below that. If they're waiters, they're making $3 an hour and relying on tips. They don't have health care. They don't have health care if they work at Olive Garden. I remember I worked at Olive Garden. Side note, I worked at Olive Garden. One thing I couldn't stand, I was a host at Olive Garden, so I would seat you to your table. I told this story before, but I don't know if you've heard it and enjoyed it. I really couldn't stand when they would play that That's Amore song would come on the loudspeakers, and they made us all sing. Like if you're an employee at Olive Garden, you had a do 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 when the moon hit. We all had to, as waiters and hosts, had to sing that. So every time that came on, I would go hide in the bathroom. Imagine like I'm about to seat you. Like, how many? You've got a party of four? Okay. Do you need a booster seat? Hold on a second. When the moon hits you, and they're looking at me like, what the, I just came for some pasta and endless salads, breadsticks. Who's this clown? Those are the people that get hit the hardest in this jobs report. So that's what AOC is fighting for. And then it's so easy and convenient for these clowns to call people like that a socialist. Yeah, we're doing really well right now, aren't we, under your little plan, Ted, where you get to take millions of dollars from fracking companies, screw the people over in Texas, fundraise off of this violence, by the way, send out fundraising emails, as did Senator Hawley and Ted Cruz during this event, to raise money. By the way, How to Be a Political Opportunist should be the title of Ted Cruz's next book, who was fundraising off of the Georgia runoff election. And that money was going to Ted Cruz's campaign. He said, donate to stand up and fight for the Georgia elections. And that money was going to Ted Cruz's campaign. So you were donating to Ted Cruz to win in Georgia? You know what that little bell means? That means it's time to subscribe. If you're new here, we do our show live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time, where we cover this news.
Don't you know, Clayton?
One of my favorite stories.
That money that Ted Cruz takes in, I mean, he just shares that among all the other, you know, people in the race. He's a very generous person. He's trying to help all of them, you know, and you're just sitting here ripping on him.
We have 18,000 people watching right now. How many of you, let me know in the chat right now, how many of you received money from Ted Cruz? Did he send you money to take? Did he provide help? In fact, he not only voted against the $2,000 stimulus, he voted against the $600 stimulus bill. But he is okay in sending $740 billion in a defense budget. But when it comes up to vote for a $600 stimulus package, $600 for you, he voted against that. Throw this guy out.
But if
he's
going to
run for president in 2024.
If he's so anti-socialism, why doesn't he run his own campaign and come up with his own way to make money instead of getting it from people, from working people? I mean, isn't that...
Well, he could, and he did before, and he took all that money from big oil, right? He took the money from fracking companies. So those fracking companies that he so staunchly supported and managed to get them included in that first round of CARES Act money back in April, he took millions of dollars from them for his campaign. So that's how he funds his campaign. He doesn't need you, the little guy in Texas. Someone the other day in our chat said, don't paint all of us Texans by the Ted Cruz brush. Oh, I'm not. I am not. I have a lot of friends in Texas. And no, I would never do that. There's a lot of good people in Texas. Ted Cruz not being one of them, by the way. Yeah, I mean, these guys are looking. I mean, right now there's this push to find these people, to get these people arrested who stormed the Capitol. And there are people who say, you know what? We're the victim. We're the victim here. So there's this funny viral video going around today. I haven't laughed this hard in a long time. It takes quite a bit for me to laugh. And me and my wife were laughing out loud at this. So here's a white woman in her little bikini top, taking to TikTok to talk about how she's a victim. And I love this musical response.
You've bullied others into silence, but sorry, it's not going to work for me.
You've bullied other people into silence. The left hates individualism.
You've bullied others into silence, but sorry, it's not going to work for me.
You ever see the IT Crowd? You ever watch that show?
Oh yeah, the
it
IT
reminds
crowd.
Me of the
one
boss.
Of our, yeah, one of our favorites. Oh yes, the first boss, right? Yeah.
No, the
is that the first boss?
No, the second one. The guy that shot his leg. Oh my!
Oh,
I just shot myself.
Not the guy that says computer.
Yes,
computer.
That guy.
That's the first guy. Yeah, I love. Oh, that's great. Oh. Your white privilege, you're the victim, just like that guy yesterday who was explaining to that black DC police officer how when he grew up in the 60s and he was 7 years old, there was no racism. And the black police officer said, maybe where you grew up in the 60s there was no racism. Oh brother. Thank you all for joining us today. Don't forget, please grab our daily newsletter. Go to morninginvest.com. Totally free for you to grab. Right here is where you get it. It's totally free, delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. We got some great comedy in there, great news. And I think it sets you up for a good day. I really do. Thank you for all of your fantastic feedback today on the show. We'll be back at 4 p.m. Eastern time for our second show of the day. Because the news doesn't sleep, and neither do we.
Oh, we had a request, Clayton.
Yeah, what's the request?
Real women vote for Trump.
We don't
need no liberal Trump.
Do you want me to find that video?
No.
If you... You do not want me to find that video. I have it saved on my hard drive somewhere. I can very easily find it for you if you want me to. I'll bring that
in. If you play the video, I will end you.
Then we will go out on this today because it's so good. We'll see you back here at 4 p.m. Eastern, everyone. Thanks for subscribing. Much love to all of you.
You've bullied others into silence, but sorry, it's not going to work for me.
Sing that.